Well, thank you for worshiping well this morning. It is my conviction that in our corporate worship, it gives us the greatest sense of what heaven will be like. For heaven will not be a Bible class. Heaven, we will know even as we have been known. Heaven will be opportunities for those who we meet who have gone before us and to re-meet the redeemed. But heaven will be mostly worship. Heavenly will mostly be us bowing before the throne of grace, thanking God for all he has done. And we have seen a glimpse of that in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And I would ask you this morning if you would turn with me there. In our brief time today in the Word, we are going to look at the worship of heaven. And we are calling it today a glimpse into heavenly worship. And the whole idea this morning is that we're going to, first of all, talk about what corporate worship looks like in heaven, and then in the end, we too will join together as we close our service in a time of worship. I don't normally greet new visitors, but I did run into a visitor today, and so I just wanted to introduce him. There's a man sitting here with a beard. I understand his name is Derek. Derek is, I believe, his name. Derek? Oh, Darren? Okay. Well, I was close, though. But I hope you're here a long time, and I hope that there's a future for you here at this church. Thanks for joining us, Derek. So I'm glad you're with us today. You can talk to Siona later about that. It's a little inside staff joke, but I... Revelation chapter 5 this morning. I'd like to read the 8th through the 14th verses. You either got to laugh or cry over this. I don't know how else to put it, so I'm going to laugh over it. Anyway, we love you. Revelation chapter 5, and I'd like to read verses 8 through 14. In our short period of time of study of the Word, we're just going to look at the five anthems that we see here, and three of them are found in these final several verses. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And they said this with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And then every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen," and the elders fell down and they worshiped. For the past several weeks, we've had the rare treat to get an amazing glimpse into the very throne room of heaven via Revelation chapter 4 and 5 and through the pen of the Apostle John. And in this glimpse of heaven, we've seen many really splendid things. We've seen a glimpse of God on his throne. We've seen a glimpse of God the Spirit in his fullness surrounding the throne. We've seen God the Son, the worthy one, approaching the throne to take from the hand of the Father the scroll of judgment, which when opened will open and usher in the final judgment of the world as Satan and the fallen world are judged and all things are brought back into the place of authority under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we've also seen those who surround the throne of God, the four living beings that guard and worship at the throne, and the 24 elders who sit around the throne on thrones of their own. And interspersed between these magnificent pictures, these visuals, these scenes, as it were, we have seen the inhabitants of heaven and their response to what they see in heaven on an ongoing basis. And this morning, in our final study of Revelation chapter 4 and 5, I would like us to consider their response as they respond to what they are seeing with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I guess the word that sums up their response should not be a surprise to us. The best word really which sums it up is the word, of course, worship. And worship, we have seen, breaks out in anthem after anthem after anthem through these two marvelous chapters. Five anthems break out in different settings, each building upon the last, as more and more worshipers join in, until as we come to the end of it, we see of all of creation bowing before the throne of grace and seeing indeed the great, spectacular splendor of who God is in probably the most amazing scene of corporate worship that is recorded in all of Scripture. Now, worship, of course, as we have seen over the years in many studies, is just not something that takes place when we are singing or praying. But in this passage, it is important for us to see that it speaks in the corporate setting of worship, and therefore is very instructional to us as we think about the idea of how should we worship, what should our corporate praise look like. But if we were to take and ask ourselves, what is a best definition of worship? It is prayer and it is song, but it is also much more. Worship is simply our active response to God, whereby we declare His worth in the whole of our lives. So says Ronald Allen in his fine book on worship, Rediscovering the Missing Jewel. And I would heartily amen his wonderful definition of worship. When we ponder the implications of such a definition, we really should be struck that although worship is singing and worship is praying and worship is corporate, that worship is to be all that we are. Worship is our ongoing daily response to who God is. And so whether we are eating or working or serving or ministering, whatever we are doing, it ought to flow out of all He is, all He has done for us, and all that He has promised for us. So our kind of main idea this morning, as we just look at these five anthems briefly, is the idea that in this treating of this heavenly glimpse of corporate worship, we see what we ought to be, and we also give ourselves a sense of what our worship should look like on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis as we come before God, very God, to praise Him for all He is. So let's remind ourselves, and I'm just going to list the five anthems. You'll see them in your note, and I want to try and speak with them of them and build upon each one so that you can see how they build through the text. The first one we came across was in chapter 4, verse 8. And in this first anthem, we saw that the four living creatures, these angelic beings who surround and are in and around the very throne of God, that they continually sing an anthem of praise. And that anthem of praise is seen in verse 8 when it says, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to lift up this anthem of praise before the throne of grace. And that is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come. So we see that the beginning of this anthem is with four creatures who are in this anthem speaking of who God is and they are worshiping him, we see in this passage, for three reasons. They are worshiping him, first of all, because he is perfectly holy. Holy, holy, holy. Makes it, as it were, a superlative in terms of saying there is nothing more holy. There is nothing more deserving of our worship. Secondly, they praise him because he is mighty, because he is almighty, is the way they put it. And thirdly, they worship him because of his eternality, who was, who is to come. So these four angelic beings begin the praise of heaven with this anthem, this hymn that goes before the throne of grace. I don't believe they worship because it's their job or because God needs their praise. Their praise, it appears, is just an ongoing response to being in his presence and his natural response to being where he is. Now, what we saw as we moved from chapter 4, verse 8, and moved down into the next few verses, that their praise brought others to praise. And I think this is something that's very important for us to think about. Praise or worship ought to be infectious. When we worship well, those who are around us begin to worship well. When our worship begins to lift up from a heart filled with thanksgiving for all God is, all God is doing, all God has done, we soon find that those who surround us begin to be filled with that same sense. And so it is our responsibility as individual worshipers within the corporate setting to lift our voices high and to realize that as we lift our voices, we are affecting or infecting, as it were, the praise of people who surround us. And that is exactly what we see here as the four lift up their praises before God. It brings the 24 elders to their knees. It brings the 24 elders in verse 10 to cause them to fall down before him who sits on the throne. And they worship the living God forever. And they cast their crowns before them. And their anthem is, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." So we begin at the beginning of this anthem with an anthem of four. And that anthem of four then is followed up with an anthem that adds 24 more voices to it. Now we have a total of 28 voices. And all 28 of these voices are turned towards the throne. And as they turn towards the throne, we see the beginning of chapter 5. All eyes are on the throne of God. And we see that as all these eyes on the throne of God, something has changed upon the throne as we come to the fifth chapter. We see that in the hand of God, the Father, is a scroll. And a strong angel comes forth and stands before the throne. And he asks a question, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" And of course, all of heaven goes silent. Because no created creature is able to, or willing, or able to open that scroll and to partake of that which is written upon it. But even as John begins to weep because no one in heaven is able to open it, we see that the Lion of Judah is introduced, the Root of David, the Lamb of God, slain, as it were, from the foundations of the world. He is worthy to take the scroll of judgment from the hand of his Father and to begin judgment upon the world. And as he takes the scroll in those first verses of chapter 5, as he takes the scroll, it's as if that leads the whole congregation of heaven to move into their next wonderful song of praise. A song of praise for all that Christ has completed, all that he has done. Verse 6, "I saw between the throne the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and look at the response. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp. A harp is always used in Scripture for praise and for worship. And golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And I think back to the apostles, the disciples saying to Jesus, teach us to pray. And one of his prayers, teachings was that they should pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's as if the prayers of the saints through all the years are being lifted up now as we look at this censer full of the prayers of the saints. And they sing a song, a new anthem of praise that has never been heard in heaven before. And here is the anthem. Worthy are you, and that is the Lamb of God, to take the book, to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. This is a song that they have waited for hundreds and thousands of years. And now they lift this new song before this one who has taken the scroll from the hand of the Almighty God. They worship the Lamb because he gave his life for sinning mankind. They worship because with his life he has redeemed people from every tribe and tongue and nation. They worship because not only has he brought salvation to mankind, but he has brought relationship to mankind. They worship because he has entered us into his kingdom. He has given us to be called priest and access before the throne of grace. He's given authority to rule in his coming kingdom. And so then it should come as no surprise that this leads to an even greater worship as the angels join in with yet another anthem. And that anthem speaks of the Son's character. Look what we say here in verse 11 when it says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne." Get the picture. This is all taking place in a small period of time. It begins with four who have been rejoicing in who God is, in his holiness, in his might, in his splendor, in his ability to do all things well, in his eternality. It is echoed by 24 elders who constantly give glory and honor to him because he has created all things. It leads others all to come together and worship him because of all the Son did on behalf of redeemed mankind. And now it's as if the angels can no longer be silent. And the angels begin to sing as well. And all around the throne, up until this point in time, all we have seen is these four wonderful created beings and these 24 elders. But all of a sudden, coming into the sea of that crystal are the voices of many angels. You might say, well, how many? Let me count them for you. Around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads. A myriad is the Greek word for 10,000. But then he went and messed that all up by making it a plural. So we go, there must be 10,000 times 10,000. Not even close. 10,000s by 10,000s. You say, well, why didn't he use a bigger word or a bigger number? That's the biggest number they had in Greek. 10,000 was as big as it got. That's as big as they needed. And so he says 10,000s times 10,000s. That's hundreds of millions. And in case that's enough, he adds another one. Why he adds it? Is it redundant? I don't know the purpose other than just help us understand that it's an expressibly large multitude of angels. Not only are there myriads of myriads, but there are thousands of thousands. So I asked last week, how many is that? And someone in tongue-in-cheek kind of said, a bunch. All right. I would say it's a bunch of bunches, if we're to look at it that way. It's an innumerable multitude of people that as they hear the salvation anthem coming forth from the 24 elders and from the four living beings, we see these angels who have, according to Peter, longed to look into what Christ is going to do for the redeemed church of God and for sinning humanity. As they see the salvation answer of this one slain who will take the scroll and make all things right with God, they lift their voices in an anthem of praise that is something that we can't even begin to describe. I've been in a few conferences with 300 or 400 pastors. Great praise. I've been in a conference with 2,000 or 3,000 Indians from India. Amazing, amazing. You got to do that, sorry. Amazing praise. I've been in a stadium with 50,000 men. Powerful praise. But I can't even begin to compare or think of how great it would be to have myriads upon myriads upon myriads of angels singing forth the praise to this worthy God. And what is this that they sing? Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And you see the separation of all those ands, the separation of all those ands is for the purpose of giving one of it, each one of them, a definitive power on its own. And so you can see this just echoing through the throne room of heaven. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Power, power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, blessing. All these things belong to him. And then, amazingly enough, it gets stronger. You say, well, how can it get stronger? Well, as we move to the 13th verse, we start with 4, and then we have 24 plus 4, and then they add harps and instruments and censers to it, and the angels chime in with their own praise. And in the 13th verses, it's the rest of God's creative environment cannot stop from praising him. And it says, every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, they begin to sing as well. Whether this is a song that is sung by God's redeemed creation prior to the unrolling of the scroll and the fulfilling of the judgments, it doesn't say. Possibly it's looking forward to the great future day spoken of in Philippians, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Whatever it is a sense of taking those wonderful psalms that say the rocks cry out and the earth and the trees and the seas speak and sing of his majesty, and all of creation, all of the angels, all of the elders, all of the redeemed that are in heaven gather together for one great concluding doxology, and that is this: to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever had one of those people come to your door that are absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ is not God? They come from a certain cult, by the way. This is a great verse to go to. Not a common one that people go to. But if we went to this verse and you would ask them the question, is it proper, according to Scripture, to worship any other than God? What would their answer be? No, of course not. We must only give worship to God. Then, why are all the angels and all the elders and all the redeemed and all of mankind and all of creation allowed to bring praise not only to him who sits on the throne, but also to the Lamb of God, who will take the Father's will and put it into motion? To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever. Do you see the picture? Do you see what is happening? It starts with a few elders who are just breathing out praise as they go about their task of hovering about the throne. And as the 24 elders hear their praise of God, they begin to lift up their voice of praise for the greatness of God's creation. And then all of those gather together in one anthem of praise for the purpose of saying just how worthy Christ is to open up that scroll and to redeem mankind for himself. And then the angels come into it and they begin to sing. And then all the creation, the earth, the trees shake and the seas billow and the skies and the wind blows and all that there is, that everything that has breath worships and praises the living God of all eternity. Are you excited about being there? Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? I'm excited about heaven because I'll see my loved one. Me too. But I'm excited about heaven because I get to enter into the choir. I get to be part of the anthem of praise and for all of eternity show my gratefulness for the worthiness of the praise that is lifted up before him. He saved us. He loved us. He died for us. God's plan is sufficient for us. And we ought to praise him for it. Now, just my closing thought on this is because now we want to put it to work. My closing thought is, why wait for heaven? You say, well, I'm not much of a singer. I'm not kind of into that sort of thing. You need to look at your walk with the Lord if that's where you are. Because it's not about your voice. It's not about how good you can sing and stay on key. It's about simply saying, you are worthy of everything that I am. You're worthy of my words. You're worthy of my prayer. You're worthy of my life. You are worthy above all that there is. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I believe that the closest we get to heaven on earth is when in a corporate setting such as this, we lift up our praises before him. And so that's what I would like to do today. As we close our time together and move into our next time, I'd like to just spend the next many minutes just praising God. Leave your inhibitions at the door. Just lift up your worship to the one alone who is worthy. Let's praise him together. Would you pray with me?